We are here with Shannon Williamson. She is the current City Council President. She's the incumbent for re-election on the City Council, has been on the City Council since 2014 and the City Council President since 2016, 42 years old, 6 years as a Bonner County and Sandpoint resident, and current Executive Director of the Lake Pend'Oreille Waterkeepers. Thank you, Shannon, for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Shannon, thanks for coming in again. And let's start out with, what do you think the most important issues facing the city are?
That's a great question. A couple things come to mind. So number one, a big one for me is protecting our natural resources. I think we're just so incredibly blessed to live in this amazing part of the country. And, you know, so many people move here just because of the striking natural beauty. And we need to do our due diligence in protecting it. It also has a direct impact, I think, to the health of our local economy. These two things are not distinct from one another, and I think we need to do a better job at recognizing that. Another issue that comes to mind is economic development and growth. We hear a lot about that as well. And this is, you know, can be a long issue to talk about, but basically to put it in a nutshell, I think that we need to be really strategic when we think about economic growth. Economic growth and smart growth don't naturally come together. And so we need to be really strategic about how we go about this. And we want to be able to balance this growth that we're inevitably going to experience and also retain the unique qualities of our city. And the last thing that comes to mind is affordable housing. We've heard a lot about this recently. I've heard a lot about it throughout the community. And it can be a confusing issue, actually, because affordable housing means different things to a lot of different people. I've heard affordable housing in terms of subsidized housing. I've heard affordable housing in terms of affordable rentals, and also affordable housing in the inventory of affordable homes for first-time homeowners or proposed homeowners. And so I think it's really, really important that we define what the problem is and then figure out ways to address it.
Well, we're going to end up digging in on some of those issues a bit more as we proceed here. But first, let's talk about a couple other things. One being the University of Idaho has announced that it's going to be selling the 77-acre property it has along North Boyer. And the city's currently conducting workshops and meetings to collect input on possible changes to the city comprehensive plan to guide the development of that property. Do you have a position on the use of the property or on this process that the city has underway?
I think the city's doing a really great job with the process, as you call it. I think by having a series of workshops, inviting the public to come and talk about what they would like to see there and really, really kind of honestly hearing their opinions is really important. And I've been able to go to the first couple of workshops, and it's been so great to see so many people involved. It's probably the most involvement I've seen on an issue of this scale, which is awesome to see. And from what I've heard so far, you know, there's a really big consensus that recreation is something that people would like to preserve. That property has been used for recreation for a very long time now, and people don't want to lose that. And I agree with that, and I think recreation is really important. That being said, I think we need to really take our time and explore all possibilities and see what combination of uses would be best for that best for that spot. So I think we're headed down the right path.
On the same sort of vein of recreation, the new grandstands at Memorial Field were completed this year, but with the dedicated 5-year 1-cent sales tax for their construction producing revenue for additional projects, the city is now considering a replacement of the turf with either upgraded grass turf, artificial turf, or a hybrid. What is your position on the turf question?
It's a good question. There's a lot of differences of opinion on this one as well. And again, I think the city did a good job in hosting some workshops on this. I know they're going to continue before we make a decision on it. But there's pros and cons to both sides, right? There's, you know, for artificial turf, one of the cons, I guess you would say, is it's a really high upfront cost. So it's expensive. But it's really, really appealing to our sports teams here in town. I mean, that really suffer in the spring with typically very wet weather or snow and rain. And it can really, you know, cut down on practice time. And so I know from a sports perspective, you know, artificial turf is really attractive. Then on the other side of the coin, you know, natural turf has lower upfront costs, but it does have ongoing maintenance costs associated with it that artificial turf doesn't. But it's just a much more attractive option for people that just prefer the natural environment, and also for events like the festival that utilize that space and need to be able to anchor tents and, you know, have patrons sitting on the lawn, and artificial turf can get really quite warm. And so there's a lot of things to consider. And personally, I haven't come to a decision yet. I really feel like we need to hear more and really, really kind of dig down into what the benefits are going to be for each. Maybe some kind of combination is something that might work.
And that process is going to proceed into the next term, I'm sure.
We're hoping to make a decision before the end of the year. So, but if it doesn't, then it would roll over into January.
So a follow-up on questions, on that question of parks, if additional funds are available from this 1 cent tax for more park projects, do you have particular projects you'd like to see the city to pursue? The city is exploring a new master plan for City Beach, so that would be one prime question is, do you see changes that you'd like to see at City Beach?
Mm-hmm. I'm glad we're undergoing this master planning process. I think it's really important. You know, City Beach is such a treasure to all of us. And it's easy, you know, my first kind of gut instinct is like, oh, I'd love to see this or I'd love to see that. For example, I'd love to see a carousel and an ice skating rink. And, you know, all these things, amenities would be really great. However, you know, as a council, we went through a fairly recent strategic planning process where we, as a group, agreed that, you know, we don't want to fall victim to the bright and shiny syndrome across the city and all the things that we address, and that includes parks. And so I think we have to be, you know, really prudent in what we take on in terms of new projects, because we're committed to doing a really good job on the current projects that we have on our plates and the ones that are pending that we're already committed to. And so while it's really attractive to kind of let your imagination go wild and say these things would be great, you know, we have to be careful in our analysis to see if that's what's going to be best for the community, and also if it's going to be best for our budget.
Hmm. You mentioned the carousel. Is there another spot that there is an organization in town that has an mm-hmm. classic antique carousel that they're looking for a home for?
Right.
Is there another spot in the city that could be appropriate for that has been talked about?
I just naturally see it. If it were to go anywhere, I think I would enjoy it down in City Beach. I don't know if there's been a lot of discussion about alternative places, but I would love to see it remain in town. I think it would be really wonderful.
Thank you. Jobs and the local economy are always an election issue. Mm-hmm. How would you describe the economy of Sandpoint today? What role do you see for the city council mayor to play in creating a healthy local economy to foster growth in living wage jobs in Sandpoint?
Multi-part question there. Well, can you repeat the first part of the question?
Surely.
How would I describe the mm-hmm. economy? Okay, thanks. Sorry. I think it's pretty diverse. If we look back in time, you know, our economy was based strongly on the timber and railroad industries, and it's evolved quite a bit along the way. And now we look around, and of course, tourism always comes to mind, but we have a lot more industries. We have the aerospace industry, biomedical, light industry, food development. I could probably continue going on. Analytics, software development. And we have quite a few industries here, and as well as our small businesses. So I think for a small city, we have a really diverse economy, which is, I think, contributes to our strength. And then, sorry, the second part of the question, what's our role in fostering economic development? I think that's a really important role of the city council and mayor. You know, we can't survive as a city without a strong economy. And I know we've suffered in the past and we've had some setbacks, like the loss of Coldwater Creek. But we've survived. And I think in part because of that diversity of industries that we have here. But we need to always be looking at opportunities to strengthen our economy. And I mentioned this earlier. We talk about growth, but we need to be smart about it. We don't want to just say, you know, just kind of make decisions willy-nilly and just, you know, grasp at things that we think are going to be good for us without really evaluating them. And so we need to be constantly looking for new opportunities to leverage and also creating, you know, policies and procedures and incentives to not only bring new business or opportunities to town in a strategic way, but also to retain them.
So a bit of a question here on the economy. It has to do with the construction of the fiber optic or the high-speed internet in Sandpoint. What you've seen is a one way to attract and retain companies here, as well as benefit residential users, of course. Do you feel that the fiber optic project is an important one for the city to have undertaken? And also, do you feel like the process to launch the service is satisfactory?
I think it's an incredibly important project. It's a big project. It's something we've talked about for a while now, and I think it's going really well, actually. It's been nice to, you know, witness this partnership between the city and the county and Sura to kind of install this initial backbone and bring these services to not only the city but the county as well. And then in doing so, we've attracted numerous internet service providers that are, you know, working right now to build out into the residential neighborhoods and to small businesses. And I think it's going to be a game changer. I mean, we can't be competitive. You know, our businesses can't be competitive. Our students can't be competitive. It's something that, you know, we need to have. And so I'm glad that, you know, we are this far along.
Another question. You've already mentioned that affordable housing is an issue that you feel strongly about. Is there a plan to address this? Do you feel the city has one now, since you're already on the city council? And where that can go, what mm-hmm. are some of the answers maybe, or what would a plan sure. look like?
That's a tough question. Mm-hmm. That's a really tough question. And like I mentioned earlier, I think the first thing we need to do is define what the problem is. We have not done that. You know, I think we hear about it a lot, affordable housing. What does that mean? You know, what does it mean? I've heard it mean a lot of things to a lot of people. And if it means affordable rentals, there's, I think, one direction we can go. And if it means affordable houses for the first-time homebuyer, it's another direction. And so I think as a city, we need to not leap ahead and start, you know, we have taken some actions that I'll mention in a second, but we need to be smart about how we address this. And so by really understanding what the problem is in the community and by talking to community members and understanding what our rental inventories are and really collecting the data and matrix we need to really define the problem is our first step. So it's attractive option to just like, you know, say, oh, well, we're going to do X, Y, Z and we're going to fix it. I don't think we're there yet. You know, recently we made some changes to our accessory dwelling unit ordinance to kind of relax some regulations to hopefully address this issue in some way. And similarly, you know, we've taken some actions around vacation home rentals. And these are tangentially related to the affordable housing issue. They're not directly related. And so for us to create, you know, concrete solutions, I feel really strongly that we need to figure out what the problem is first.
You mentioned vacation rentals, and it seems that a good deal of housing stock is being devoted now to like Airbnb. Mm-hmm. And so people are taking it out of the long-term housing mm-hmm. that the workforce needs to use it for actually what ends up being part-time housing for right. vacationers. Is that being addressed at the city level in
some
fashion?
We did just recently address mm-hmm. that. It was difficult because the state legislature actually in this past session mandated that we can't tell people what they can do with their property, which makes sense, right? It's private property rights. How that affected the vacation rentals is that we had specific regulations around our vacation rentals, and this made it difficult to enforce some of those. And so we do have buffer zones saying you can only have X amount of vacation rentals per square area so that in some way helps hopefully preserve some of those units for what you were talking about, like longer term rentals. But, you know, it's a hot craze. We have quite a few vacation rentals in town and only a fraction of those are actually permitted. You know, we have quite a few more that aren't. And so really, you know, people are making sometimes a full-time living off of that. And so it's really balancing, you know, what people are trying to do for themselves and their families, and taking the larger picture of, like, how do we make this work for everyone?
Mm-hmm. Speaking about major changes in the downtown, the traffic realignment to remove the one-way streets, of course, was a big change that occurred this summer. And now a downtown redesign to widen sidewalks and stormwater swales and make other changes is going to start next summer along Cedar Street. What do you feel about the changes to the downtown? Do you like the new realignment? And then what do you think about the process going forward with the redesign, as well as the perennial question, how do you feel about parking downtown?
Parking, oh my.
So it's like the big downtown package
parking
of questions.
Right. Well, I know it's been tough. I know it's been a tough transition for many with the streets converting back to two-way. You know, overall, I think it was the right thing to do. I think, you know, as we settle into it, we're going to get used to it. And I really do believe that it's going to help our downtown businesses by bringing traffic, not just like bringing people in from out of town, shuttling them down first and back out of town again. I think having that two-way flow in the downtown core is really critical. And, you know, we have kinks to work out, no doubt about it, you know, and we're not done. And that's the thing is, you know, now we're doing traffic studies and figuring out if, you know, timing of lights needs to be changed or yield signs need to be moved. And so it's an evolution. It's not like, okay, we're done. You know, we're still working on it. So I think overall it's a positive move. And then as for the improvements,
the redesign, revitalization,
yeah. I think I'm looking forward to it. I mean, no, I'm not looking forward to, you know, the construction in front of my office. And I doubt any of the businesses or downtown are, but it's going to be a temporary thing. And I think when it's all said and done, you know, those improvements are actually going to, I think, make the two-way design make more sense, first of all, and then really it's going to beautify our downtown. It's going to make it a lot more attractive. And I think that's important. That's important for our downtown. So,
and what about the parking question? You think parking is adequate, or you think there are specific steps that should be taken to improve parking downtown?
This is going to sound strange, but I'm glad that we have a parking problem, you know, or a perceived parking problem, because that means people are downtown and they're shopping. It's frustrating. I understand it's very frustrating for folks. And as a council, we need to reevaluate our policies frequently. Like, we recently in the past year or so made some adjustments to the timing for parking downtown, extended timing, made the city lot free. And as we grow, we're going to have to continue to evaluate those and make changes as appropriate. And I know a lot of people would love to see, you know, a parking structure. And I think that makes sense. And at the time when, you know, we really have that demand, that's something that we need to seriously consider. But that's a big project, and it's going to cost a lot of money. And so we have to be really smart about how we go about doing that.
Here's another question. Increasing train traffic, specifically trains transporting coal and volatile oil, has been an issue locally and regionally with citizens who identify environmental and public safety threats. Do you feel this is an important issue for city officials? And if so, what actions do you advocate?
Yes, I do think this is an important issue. And as a council, the council has taken action on this already. So this is not a new issue. This issue kind of really came to bear for Sandpoint, I don't know, around 2011. And the city council has adopted resolutions about proposed export terminals on the West Coast, because they directly impact traffic here in town, because we're the funnel for all rail traffic going east and west. And so moving forward, I think anytime there's a proposal on the table, whether it's for an export facility, a mine, a refinery, it's something the city needs to consider, because we're directly impacted. And we need to express our concerns about, you know, the health and safety of our residents and visitors and, you know, their overall well-being. And so it's an important thing to consider. And with a, you know, second rail bridge proposed, that's another perfect opportunity that the city needs to be really involved with.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, final little three-part question. How much time do you, since you're already on the council, devote to your position, and will you be able to continue to devote that time?
You want me to answer these one at a time?
Oh, and then how many council meetings have you attended, which is going to be a lot because you're already on the council. And then finally, why are you running again for re-election?
Okay. So how much time do I spend? As much time as it takes. I mean, it varies. It really does. It, you know, when we're working on our budget for the year, you know, that takes quite a bit of time, you know, and you really need to be digging in and doing your research and asking questions and listening to the answers. And so each time we have, you know, an agenda come out, and the first thing you need to do is, you know, you review your agenda and you figure out, you know, what you know or do not know about that issue, and then start asking questions and getting the answers to the things that I will personally need to make a decision. You know, I think that's probably, you know, one of the most important things you can do as a council member is really educate yourself, because you're not going to know everything about everything. And we have a really talented staff that's available to answer any questions we have. So it varies throughout the year, but really it's based on whatever we're facing, you know, every couple of weeks and however much time it takes.
Okay, and we're going to assume you've been at most city council meetings the last couple of years since you're
on
the council.
Yes, yes. To the best of my knowledge, I've been at all of them unless I was sick or traveling for work.
Okay, final question. Why are you running for re-election, Shannon Williamson?
Because I've loved serving the last 4 years. I love this town. I mean, I moved here in 2011. I had two really, really young kids. They're still fairly young, 10 and 8. But, you know, I chose to raise them here. And so it's important for me to be involved in the community. And I just think that it's a wonderful place to raise children, and I want to continue to keep it that way.
And if folks want to get a hold of you to learn more about your candidacy, how would they do that?
So I have a website. It's www.shannonforsandpoint.com. And then I also have a Facebook page that they can just type my name in and it should come up. And then there's my profile on sandpointelections.com. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, we really appreciate your coming in and sharing your views with our listeners. Thank you, Shannon
Thanks
Williamson.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.